Kev, I know you were on the ice today with a few goals. Like, are you kind of like an advanced shooter, tutor? What are you doing out on the ice?
Yeah, no, I just stand around, look good. You know, got the tracksuit fits well, new skates.
Do you have a whistle?
Skates. I don't have a whistle. I think they decided that was probably a bad idea a few years ago. But I do have lots of video cameras working from multiple angles and microphones, and everything's kind of set up and just trying to capture the spirit of the thing, as they say. And it's that time of year, guys. Yep, back in Kelowna and back on the ice, and a handful of NHL guys getting out there too. And for some, first time out. And, you know, this is the time of year, and increasingly skaters too. One of our shooters was Tyler Myers out there today. So it's not just the goalies, it's the players getting out there, getting their work in now too.
You know, I'm interested. As a skater, you get out there, you want to get your skate stride going, you work on all those skills, you bring someone in. But for a goalie, do you work your way around the body? Like, do you say, okay, we're going to get the foundation, we're going to work on your feet, and then in a couple weeks, work on your hands. Like, how does that work for building a program for a goalie during the off season?
Well, I think you're right in terms of it's sort of body first. But a lot of that work's done. Well, I was going to say done off the ice, Jason, but not true, actually. So today on the ice, we had Adam Francilia, who is a trainer here in Kelowna that a lot of NHL goalies work with. Top of my head, I want to say we're close to a dozen, as well as a bunch of skaters, including Andrew Ladd, who I believe may have gone for a little twirl earlier today, first time in a long time since the knee surgery. And these guys are... You know, he works with a lot of these guys. And so today the goalies, they're actually on the ice at one of the stations, but there's no crease. They're attached to sort of giant bungee cords, for lack of a better description. And they're attached to their bodies at various points, sometimes around the thigh, sometimes around the waist, sometimes their hands holding them out in front. And they're doing sort of lateral crease movements. Well, he's providing the resistance with this band. And so whether it's sometimes down to the knees and sliding and stopping, then pushing back and then coming back in the slide, or T pushes, like, they're incorporating resistance training. And depending on where he puts those bands, you're working different muscles. I heard him talking about one, like, hey, guys, we want to feel and isolate the obliques here in a way that sort of prevents what we call counter rotation. You think of a goalie where he sort of, in order to move to his left, he swings his upper body to his right to sort of build that momentum. And that used to be quite common. Now we understand that's just a needless delay, and we can get rid of that counter rotation if we train properly and get the obliques firing in the right patterns. And so he's out there with bands and on the ice, and these guys are basically skating without a stick or gloves or a helmet, just these giant bungees attached to them. And kind of, yeah, like you said, working specific parts of the body on the ice to isolate the movements that then, as the summer progresses, they'll begin to incorporate into their, you know, actually going out and playing goal. And there are guys playing goal at the other stations, but for the most part, you know, they're not getting too dialed in technically right now. They're just trying to sort of feel some simple things. And for a guy like James Reimer, who was on the ice for the first time, he just wants to get out there and feel the puck and feel the ice underneath his skates for the first time in the summer. And he'll work into the more complex stuff as we get into August.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, there was so much talk about the new chest protectors and such, and I know Mike Smith struggled with finding a comfortable one. What's the talk you're hearing on potential changes to equipment this coming season? Are the goalies concerned, or do they have everything set and this summer won't have the same question marks that last summer posed when it came to equipment?
Well, no, I don't think that there's nothing coming this year, so there is no stress there. It certainly took a while for guys to get comfortable, not just Mike Smith, but there were some guys who, you know, honestly, there was one or two guys that struggled so much to find something they weren't getting beat up in terms of sort of, you know, black and blue, and they sort of grandfathered parts of their old protector in until they could get comfortable. So there was a real willingness by the league to make sure guys were safe. And, you know, after a couple months, I think we got there. Was everybody happy? No. Did some guys take longer to adjust? Yes. But I think we're there. I don't think there's any fears. There's nothing changing this summer. I'll be curious what and whether anything is next. And I guess the one that I think has been sort of talked about for so long is the glove. Stupidest thing they ever did was call it a cheater. And we've seen, I had it on InGoalMag.com, we saw John Shannon mention it. There's a glove out there that the league had built that I have pictures of that basically eliminates that cheater portion of the cuff. And that, now they tried to do this, guys, around the lockout in 2004-05, where they actually had prototypes built without a cuff. But the cuff also provides stability for the thumb piece. And once they stripped that down, once they took that extension or cheater off the cuff, the thumb wasn't stable enough, and they were legit worried, and not just the goalies, the NHL and the PA were legit worried that they could have broken thumbs as a result. Well, fast forward 15 years later, and materials are better. They can build a glove they think that'll be safe without a cheater. And what'll be interesting, though, is, you know, as guys turn their hands, like if you think of, yes, that little slim piece over your wrist covers it in a certain angle, but if you turn your hand over and twist it, maybe your wrist gets exposed. Like, there are still some concerns about that. If they go that way, could you end up with some broken wrist? It's a pretty vulnerable area. The chest protector doesn't cover all the way down to the top of the hand. So that to me is probably the next one. But the reason we actually, I had that picture, to be honest with you, long before it sort of became public. John Shannon mentioned an intermission. And I kind of got some grief from some people saying, why would you sit on it? And the reason I sat on it was because it just wasn't realistic. I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. I didn't think the NHL had any plans. They sort of built this to show the people that always complain about it that, hey, we can. And here we are through all the Board of Governors meetings and all the general managers meetings. And despite that report that this might be something they discussed, as far as I know, it wasn't. And it hasn't gone anywhere. And nobody's worried about it next. So that, to me, is the next step. Obviously, it's not this season. I don't know when we'll get there. And the other one is skates. I'm curious to see if they put a limit on skates. I just happened to be doing a story for In Goal of a product review. And do you guys remember the extreme steps deal that the NHL made illegal right around the time the Flames signed Danny Taylor? Do you guys remember that story at all?
I do. It's pulling some strings in the back of my head.
So basically, his steel on the bottom of his old skates was like 2 inches tall. It was called Step Steel Extreme, and it made him taller, and it allowed you to get further and lower and wider in your stance and still hold your edge, and it looked really goofy, and the NHL made it illegal, and when he signed his NHL contract, he couldn't wear them. He was wearing in the American League. I used to have a set myself. Anyways, so he switched over, but interestingly enough, I took the set I have, and I went and measured it as part of this review against all the other products that are now stock, retail, legal in the NHL products. And most of them are the same, and a couple are actually taller with the same or better attack angle than Danny Taylor's old step steel that were made illegal. So it's kind of, that's an interesting one to me. Nobody's on it. Clearly there's a reason. Not all goalies like it, but some do. It allows you to get an edge easily when you're on your knees and make a lateral push from your knees without having to lift your leg too far. You have access to that edge easier. You're more mobile on your knees. And, you know, something that achieved the same thing was made illegal because it looked funny. Well, we've now got things that don't look funny that achieve the exact same thing as that illegal product, and they are legal in the NHL. So I'll be curious to see if maybe that goes somewhere, or if nothing else, if they put a cap and put a restriction on just how tall from the bottom of the skate to the ice, that holder. It's not a cowling anymore. Goalies have gotten rid of cowlings, but that holder, it looks like a player skate now. If they start to put restrictions on that holder anytime soon.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, quickly, Binnington, 2-year extension, gets $4.4 million per season. There really was no comparable for him. No one had come in and had so little NHL experience, and then, of course, had that quick of success and was up for a contract at his time and eligible for arbitration. So kind of the perfect storm for Binnington. They kept the backups, and now they got $8.7 million in the two goalies next season. What do you make of this contract? Is it kind of what you expected, or is it surprisingly a little bit higher, considering he really didn't have a lot of comparables to use?
Well, I mean, and I guess the one, and I don't have it in front of me, guys, I apologize, coming off the ice, I haven't been able to get to my hotel yet here, so I don't have a computer up, but I know it wasn't the same in terms of having an arbitration case, but what of Matt Murray? Because there's your only other, a little younger, I know, but as a rookie, wins a cup, wins another cup, and then he comes out of entry level. So I'd be curious to see what he got as a comparable.
3.75.
I don't know that it's an overpay, because my bet is as salaries have gone up, they probably were worried and would have done better research than clearly I have sitting in my car about what the comparable might be in an arbitration hearing and what they might end up paying in an arbitration hearing. And it's not like you wanted to get into that acrimonious type of situation. Clearly they value him. He won a cup. If he's willing to go short-term and bet on himself like he did rather than pushing for a long-term deal, like, doesn't this sort of feel like a win-win to you?
Yeah, no, I see that. It's just, like, even Murray, he had had 2 years in the playoffs, right? And had 84 combined regular season and NHL games, whereas you look at Binnington and he had 58, right? So it's still, and he got more. Now, granted, I understand it's a few years later and the salary cap has gone up, so that obviously plays a part in it, but he actually got more, and he got a shorter deal because Murray signed for 3 years.
Well, and that's the thing, though. The one question I would ask then, Jason, is, and just again, my apologies, but it is a little top of my head here. Just based on age, Matt Murray would have been, Jordan Binnington would have been close to UFA. No, like this would, if he turned 26 with UFA age as low as it is now, they bought a year of unrestricted free agency in this, did they not?
Yeah, I have to look. I think you could be right.
And that you're always going to pay more for a year of unrestricted free agency. So, you know, Binnington bets on himself. He gets a little job security. They're comfortable. And he gives up, like you said, like if he just had done a one-year deal or so they'd selected 1 year in arbitration and he has another great season, now he's looking straight into unrestricted free agency. And so, yeah, again, I think it just works for both sides, right? They tie him up through that first year and then they can talk about a long-term deal if they still like him. And, you know, he's secure. That's enough money for most of us for the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I forgot he had three. I thought he only had 2 1-year deals. He had 3 1-year deals in St. Louis after his 3-year entry-level contract. So interesting to see how it plays out because Binnington, to me, he's the biggest wild card in the season next year. Right? Like, maybe he will become that next really reliable goaltender. But, Kev, outside of maybe, you know, 8 to 10 guys, we see goalies really fluctuate from year to year sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely, and it'll be on him to prove that you know, that it's not just a one-off. Like I said, I kind of said this, you know, I said this when he first came up and the run started, and as early as February, talking to some of the people around him, that they felt like this was not a blip, that this was a step, and he had established himself. So, you know, I'm not gonna shy away from that now, not after he's won a cup, but it gets tougher, right? It gets tougher. In your second go around, expectations are going to be high. My bet is because of the structure and stability at the foundation of his game that he's going to continue to have success. Of course, I say that it's predicated on the team continuing to play the same way they did in front of him, and that's, you know, clearly a way that to me, you know, most goalies are going to want to play behind the commitment they had in their own end of the rink. That's a good thing for any goaltender. He fits it well, and as long as those things are clicking, I think you can probably expect. Yeah, maybe not top of the league results, but I certainly think he's going to show people that he's an NHL goaltender and a legit NHL number one. And, hey, that's not a bad ticket for two guys. I still think I know it's really easy to piss on Jake Allen. And I know he just goes into those funks that sometimes it's hard to explain. But when he's on, like I still like a lot of elements of Jake Allen's game, and I would not be surprised at all that if Jordan Binnington has any downtime next year or any struggles, that you would see Jake Allen have a lot of success playing with him.
Well, he might. And, you know, the thing about Binnington, he goes into the season next year 21st in goalies when it comes to cap hit. So it's not like he has to be elite based on what he's paid. Kev, as always, we appreciate your time. Have a good week on the ice. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Jason.